our fiscal policy became that we are in a, you know, safe and at this stage we have controlled that. So we're reducing our expenditure to reduce our fiscal flow as a borrowing. And one of the mitigating factors for that is to do more with less and to be more efficient and effective. So when you look at efficiency, in terms of allocated efficiency, we can already see on a national level the allocation towards higher education is growing over time. So you can see that they really try and start a higher education, more money is going in that direction. So now it just depends on the department to spend it wisely. So in terms of program four, I just quickly looked at the TV section, and you can see in terms of program 40 days, the department spent 14% of the entire budget to that sector, to that program. And then in terms of that program, they allocate 95% of this money. They basically allocate specifically to TV education and training and planning and the institutions. So you can see they do prioritize the sector. But in terms of, if you look at how they spend the money and spending on non-core items, I just quickly looked at consumable supplies. We don't know what that entails. It can be a lot of things within that item. That item is basically grown by 11.2%, which is much more than what CPI is growing. So one can really interrogate that budget in terms of what is in there and why did that budget grow by 11%. Although it's not a lot of money, but it's still growing faster than all the other items. In terms of operating leases for that sub-program or program, it's increased over the medium term by more than 200%. So can the department explain why it's increased that much? Can we be more efficient in terms of allocating budget to that specific item. In terms of travel and subsistence,
sorry, I've missed that item.
It was operating leases. And then travel and subsistence is also increasing by 24.8%. It's also not a huge amount of money, but it's still growing much faster than some of the other items. It's definitely not a core item, but I mean, the department can explain why they need to spend such a lot of money or increase for that specific item. Operating payments is also increasing by 37.5%. We also don't know what is within the detail of that item, what they really spend on operating. So in terms of the objectives of this program four, they're basically saying they want to implement the IT examination service system, the eradication of certification backlog, the performance of students in colleges. That is the objective. But can you really determine whether they produce those outputs to determine whether they are operational efficient? You can't because they don't report on those things on a quarterly basis. You as a committee and we as the budget office, if we do a real in-detail analysis of the budget, we really want to determine the ratio of inputs versus outputs. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have that data in terms of the outputs, you can't determine whether they're efficient. And then in terms of another section in budget analysis is basically to do to try and determine the effectiveness of the department. So if you want to determine the effectiveness, did they really make an impact? So currently we don't have a lot of impact indicators or effectiveness indicators, but we research. The only thing that we can do to make sure that at the end of a 5-year or 10-year period we can determine effectiveness, we really need to make sure that all the outputs that the department deliver are linked to those impact indicators. Because if they don't contribute to the impact at the end of a 5-year period, you won't be able to report on or determine whether they made an impact at all. So Nakula will go further into the MDP and the medium-term strategic framework indicators that was developed and how the department is currently performing or reporting on those indicators.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members. I'm just going to go quickly in terms of their performance because we need, like Nilia said, we need to look how efficient are they looking into the inputs and the outputs going in there to see what is happening in that sector. Do we channel money? Are we getting ready for that money or what is happening there? So we looked at, as PDO, we are tracing the implementation of the NDP, the 14 outcomes. So we have a series of projects that we have done in terms of tracing that the implementation of the NDP. So now for this morning, I looked at our report for the 2014-2015 MTSF in terms of looking at the program of action progress report in terms of how are they performing, looking at the NDP and the MTSF if they are performing. So I also looked also at the latest one, which is the 2015-2016 progress of action report, which was released last year in June. So what we find is that during the 2014-2015 MTSF, or in that financial year, they were tasked, the department was tasked into establishing a ministerial committee to review the funding framework of the TVET, which they achieved that target by the end of that financial year. By March 2015, they achieved that target. The ministerial committee was established. But now, in the 2015-2016 year, when they reported in June, I think that ministerial committee is critical because we can say there is underfunding in terms of TVET. So now we establish a committee that is going to look deep into how is the funding of the TVET. But now the latest report doesn't indicate what is the progress, whether that committee is functioning or there is anything happening. There is no report, there is no mentioning. The only mention is that it was established and gazetting it in 2014. But what's happening from then up until now, there is no report. So we're looking at, in terms of their performance, looking at the MPSF and the progress report in terms of implementation of the NDP. In terms of implementation of the NDP. In the 2014-2015 MPSF progress report, they mentioned that a ministerial committee needs to be established to look into the funding framework of TVET, which they achieved that target by October 2014. That target was achieved, a ministerial committee was established by gazetting it. But now, when we look at the latest progress report, 2015-2016, which was released in June 2016, there is no mention of what is the progress of that committee. Is it operating? Is it functioning? Or what is happening with it? Because I think it's critical. That is why we're sitting here this morning to say, what's happening with the funding of TVET? But then a committee was established in 2014. What's happening with that committee? So there is no reporting on that when you look at the MTSF Program of Action report released in June last year. And some of the challenges or issues that we find is that there is minimal progress. Nilia mentioned, in terms of one of the objectives of this sector is to look into the infrastructure of TVET colleges. There is minimal progress in terms of building of the 6 new TVET colleges, which was also a target in the 2014-2015 financial year. So now, when you look at the 2016 report, the one that was released in June, they are saying the 6 TVET colleges, which were supposed to be built in the 2014-2015 financial year, will be complete by December 2015. So they are reporting in June. They are saying it should be complete by December 2015, but it's now June 2016. So 7 months ahead, they are still saying it should be complete by December 2015. So we don't know what's going on. So the reporting does not really give a good indication of what is happening there. And the other issue is that the targeted number of headcount enrollments in TVET colleges is not achieved. It was not achieved by 31st of March 2015. It's still not achieved by 31st of March 2016. But they're saying funding and infrastructure constraints are inhibiting sectors achieving headcount enrollment. But now they said you need to build 60 vet colleges by 2015, December. You don't report on that. You come and say, we cannot achieve the number of enrollments because of infrastructure. But tell us what happened in terms of the infrastructure, the colleges that you were supposed to build. There is no reporting on that. Another issue is in terms of, I mean, she mentioned about input and output. Are we getting value for money? Are you being efficient and effective? The percentage of certification rates in terms of NCV, L4, N3, and N6, they are not achieved. And the progress report says that this will only be available during the third, fourth quarter. There is a problem here. When we look at it, when we analyze the NDP as a PBO, it relates to financial year. 2015 April to 2016 March. So that's the financial year. So now they report in June for financial year 2016, for financial year 2015-2016, which ended in March 2016. Which means they report in June, we have the fourth quarter already. But in their reporting, they're saying the results will be released in the fourth quarter. Which fourth quarter? So it seems like they are using financial year and calendar year same time. But then when you report, we don't know which fourth quarter because already the fourth quarter results are out. But you're saying they will be released in the fourth quarter. So there is some discrepancy or, I don't know, just using two financial year interchangeably and it creates some challenges. So for us, we're saying it did not perform because the fourth quarter of the financial year is out. So that also needs to be looked at. But then when they report on the certification rate in terms of NCV level 4, N3, and N6, they're saying there the results will be released on the fourth quarter. But they're saying, but the program of, they're indicating that they are concentrating on the turnaround strategy of the sector is teaching, learning, and curriculum delivery. So if you say you're supposed to report on the certification rate and you come and say, our turnaround strategy is on teaching, lecture development, and partnership, are you saying the certification rate is not important? Because we are saying that will be released in the fourth quarter, but our turnaround strategy is teaching. The results of teaching should be issuing of certificate. You're not reporting on it. What's happening? The reporting is just not as clear as it's supposed to be. The other problem that we find is an intervention of program to improve the qualification of TVET lecturers, because that's a problem. So they were supposed to develop an intervention program. Up to so far, there is nothing, there is no progress. But instead of developing that, they're saying there is a business plan in place. So as you miss the target, when they say you need to have a program in place and you come and say, we have a business plan, it can take a long time for you to have a program after having that particular business plan. And also here they indicate that it will be initiated in the fourth quarter. Which fourth quarter? Calendar year, financial year? It's not clear. It creates a problem in terms of the committee doing oversight over these targets. And also they were supposed to develop protocols on the secondment of sector specialists to work in TVET colleges. And this also leads to transfer of skills to the lecturers. Instead of developing the protocol, they are piloting the lecture workplace exposure. But then how long is the pilot going to take? After the pilot, how long are we going to develop the protocol? For them, they're saying the piloting of lecture worker exposure will lead to the outcome of this, influencing the nature and character of the protocol that needs to be developed. But then we are piloting for how long? And how long is it going to take for us to develop the protocol? And how long is it going to take for us to implement? Because, you know, we have targets and we have limits in terms of when are we supposed to achieve this target. So if you decide to come up, because this is a second target for you to say, we're going to pilot it first and then we're going to develop, it was supposed to have been brainstormed in the beginning that we need to pilot it first. And I think the other critical one is the issuing of certificates. They have a target to issue certificates within 3 months after examination. So that's an indicator on the MTSF. But when they come, they say we'll issue certificate within 12 months. Why 12 months after issuing? And the State Information Technology Agency was given an undertaking to, or they gave an undertaking to have the backlog results cleared by January 2016. So up to now, there is over 102,000 candidates that are still waiting to get their certificate. Do we have the colleges to teach? So now you look at this. They said their turnaround strategy is for teaching lecture development, but then these people cannot go and work if they don't have certificates. So which creates a problem in terms of the inefficiencies that you mentioned, that we need to make sure that the input leads to output. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you much.
In terms of the way we can find efficiencies, all those non-core items which are indicated increased by more than 10 or 20%, but the increase over time and the transfer from the department to the TVET cottages only increased by 2.7%. So if we can try and be more efficiently, it's possible that we can increase the allocations to the TVET cottages.
Thank you, colleagues. Chair, thank you. Just in conclusion, from outside, after this very quick analysis that we've undertaken, is that clearly, I think, you know, oversight is required in this regard, because what we see is that financial resources are clearly not properly scrutinized in this way. And clearly, I think a budget review of the sector is required, a much more detailed one, where we also engage, I think, with the committee. In this regard. And it can't be, I think, Chair, you know, a 3-hour session. We probably need a whole day, you know, with them going through this process. Also, what we noticed, Chair, is that there have been targets set that they're not achieved. A lot of targets. In addition to targets, there's turnaround strategies and plans that are being brought forward, and every time, you know, I think financial resources are committed to it, but we don't see the outcome of these kind of plans. What we also notice, and I think Mapula is very clear to you, is that reporting systems are not there. And it's also, I think, a ploy, you know, and we noticed this from departments, and I've become very critical in my last few years at Parliament, where departments come, they present 50,000 slides, but say nothing. You know, so I think really reporting systems need to be clear, simple, objective. It needs to be linked to a budget, and we need to hold them accountable to these things. Clearly, there's non-performance in the sector, and I don't think, you know, we should beat about the bush in this regard. Also, what we notice here is that there's the list of objectives are so vast here. None of them are interrelated. It's just thrown out at us. And it's limited achievement in this regard. So a serious call would be for a proper investigative analysis into this process, sitting with, I think, the department and having a firm discussion in this regard. Chair, honourable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. And if there's questions, I think we'll take them. Thank you.
There you have it, honourable members. We thank Mr. Khalid and his team very much for now. And we accept that you say this is preliminary. Mm-hmm. It's not a detail, it's just some examples that you have given, and we don't have to say that the department responses, but I think we should accept that. Nevertheless, honorable members, you can still ask questions on the board. That way. I see two hands, Killian and Dazoli.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I do believe that, you know, it was very insightful, although it was brief, and it was intensive. It would actually help us if we do receive just some sort of sketchy notes about it, so that we can come back and focus. I must say this is the sort of process that I do believe that we should embark upon as a higher education committee. It's been extremely frustrating for some time already that we don't get into the nitty-gritty. And I agree with Professor that far too often we see beautiful reports, but sometimes when we go on oversight, we see a different picture, and also we don't dig deep enough into reporting lines. Now, a typical example of what departments do is they change the objectives year on year, so that you started last year on something, they didn't quite achieve it, but this year they're developing a new objective, and then they sidetrack you so that you don't have a sort of a baseline tracking, and that is very, very concerning. So I do believe that this sector is under severe strain. It is a critical sector to change around the skills base of the country. And I really wanted, I don't know if we need to make a special motivational sort of report to the budget office, but it would really be very helpful. You see, what we actually need to do is we need to look at what the Auditor General also says. Because the Auditor General speaks in sometimes in typical AG language and then saying some things that we don't pick up and carry forward. Because we think some of the matters belong to SCOPA, but the large portion of the responsibility lies in oversight. And I think we need to look at that. Just a question. You have now been asked to say, and I'm happy that you come here and actually say to us, probably, you don't say it, but you perhaps mean it, you should do better oversight. You should go into further detail and you should earn your life here. So, just a bit of a problem. We are at a very sensitive phase of our democracy. There are expectations out there. The youth is legitimately getting restless. There has been mismanagement. There's maybe been oversight of the critical role of this sector, but how do we move from here forward? 80% of the budget is consumed by university sectors. And we must change the sector around. Now, we can go into the detail, and it's good that we must do that. But in the end, we've inherited colleges that were not part of the budget process of the Department of Higher Education. It was a provincial responsibility. Now, all of that came on. Instead of 2,000 people working in the TVET sector, there are 38,000 now. So those salaries have come. Not only that, those salaries, some of them have should actually be adjusted because they develop their qualifications further, and therefore they... So the department is inheriting all of that debt. And in the meantime, there's no additional funding. The infrastructure of the colleges is in a pathetic state. There's no accommodation for students. But we want to make this a very attractive sector for the youth. So we can look at the detail under a magnifying glass, but how do you do, must it be internal reallocation of resources by the department to make difficult choices? Or are you in fact telling us, don't expect any further money from the fiscus? What you have to do, what you have to do, because there is no further money, because the country is unable to borrow more. So I think we just need to be very clear there, so that we can go and put on the new glasses, and we will have to have a session, and I would really strongly propose, Shepherd, that we arrange a workshop on this matter. Because unless we really understand input an output, you know, what you put in, the financial resources allocated, how you keep them accountable. It's going to continue and it's going to get worse. So I really want to get, but are you essentially, your message is, do your work, look at the detail, don't expect a new process to apply for the appropriations, end of the year adjustment appropriations period. It's not going to come your way, because the fact is this department already received a 9.3% increase, higher than other departments. So are you telling us, go back to the drawing board and reallocate your internal funding? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think before we spend time on detailed analysis, we must look at the 7 reports that Treasury has already done on post-school education by DNA Economics. There's a whole performance and expenditure review done on TVET, a detailed, I think it's about 50 pages, looking at every aspect of the finances of the TVET sector, published on in February 2016, but only made available to the public early this year. And in that report, everything that we are talking about has been looked at. So I would strongly suggest we rather circulate that report to the committee. And there are 6 other reports, one on the costing of the white paper, one on LitFast, on a whole lot of things. And nowhere does Treasury say that all this must be solved through internal reallocation of small bits of money on things like travel. This is a macro problem of the system. And the 9% increase is all student funding. None of it goes to the institutions. All that it does is reduce their debt, the institution's debt. It doesn't actually pay for the institutions to do anything. The move of the colleges to a department have not been accompanied by a new organogram. So therefore, many of the staff positions in the department are not funded. And it seems to me that we can't go along with this a proposal of a micro-analysis of the budget. We really need a bolder approach. And if extra money can be found for students, extra money should be able to be found for the sector. And TVET colleges should be given more money. And really, a lot of money is stolen in this economy. There's a lot of corruption, and it seems to me that that's where the wastage is occurring, not travel in the, or equipment in the TVET sector, which is terribly underfunded and an embarrassment, actually, to all of us. The other thing where there's a what you might call wastage is in the production of graduates from these colleges and from universities, in the sense that so many students fail. So enormous amounts of taxpayers' money are being spent on students who aren't going to succeed. And why is that? That's because the schooling system is so appalling. So once again, we're in a trap. Ideally, maybe, the way to solve it would be to not admit students below a certain level into these colleges and universities, but one can't do that. So they're trapped in a non-productive cycle because of the way the schooling system works and what they inherit from the schooling system, as well as problems in teaching in the TVET themselves. So it seems to me the problems here are fundamental and structural. They are not micro-budgetary, A, and B, these 7 reports should be circulated to the committee and we should address them urgently. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson, my colleague has now already referred to much of what I wanted to raise, and that is the lack of productivity, if I can call it in factory terms, of the system. Now the question is, if you have such an unproductive sector, and I'm specifically referring to both the TVET colleges and then also the training funded through the CETAS, which, because it's not, you know, on our budget, I think we tend to neglect what is called the workplace-based training, which has become an extremely important aspect in an era where what you've learned 30 years ago is much of it has become irrelevant, and we all need to learn every day and grow every day, also in our work situation. Now, the question that I just have is, if you know there's a lot of waste, if you know there's a lot of unproductive, unproductivity or unproductive workings in the system, how do you then motivate for more money for that system? Because we will all, I think, agree that we need more money put into teaching, training, specifically skills training. It's a long-term investment in a country's development and towards achieving national development goals, 17 years from now, 13 years from now, and so on. You need that investment. But on the other hand, the moment you start giving people more money, the incentive to become more efficient, mm-hmm. unfortunately, I won't say disappear, but it's not that dire. It's not that focused. And that is the difficulty that I think this committee is sitting with. On the one hand, yes, let's all agree we need more budget, completely underfunded, universities are underfunded, TVETs much more so. But then the second one, and I think my colleagues referred to that, what are the macro aspects that we need to change? I personally believe one of the macro aspects is our whole qualifications framework when it comes to the training for the ETQA for the skills sector. To expect of somebody to pass 25 subjects or unit standards, as it's called in terms of the qualifications, is extremely difficult. If you can pass a matric with, let's say, 5 out of 7 subjects and so on, how can you really insist that somebody must pass 26 out of 26? And if there's one that's lacking, I'm sorry, you will never get your certificate. So these are real major structural things, and I'm so glad that my colleague has said we will have to go back and perhaps not focus on the travel and accommodation now, how obvious it may be and what it may be a thorn in our side. But we're not going to achieve our major objectives for this country unless we address the deep-rooted structural problems. So my question is, again, do you put more money in, or do you first force the sector almost to have a little bit of self-ownership, just internal... Thank you.
Because these lecturers are coming from the very system that we are in. They are coming from the universities. They are not being sold anywhere else. They are being produced by the system. And well, wastage is there, but we also need to ensure that the little resources that are being put forward is utilized effectively. Because even if they give you more money, but if you are not effective and efficient, you will arrive at the very same problem. So therefore, productivity is also an issue. Thank you, Chairman.
Efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, the honorable members of the NSF Conference, honorable members have covered me in terms of saying that efficiency cannot be compromised. As much as, let me start by saying that this was a very good presentation, although it was very brief but very beneficial. It goes back to what Honorable Suella was saying. It says we must review the way that we engage with a departmental report, so that we are able to think whenever they are saying that what has happened, what have they planned before, and what they reported during the particular quarter, so that we keep track of what they come back and report to us. Indeed, some of the things that we are saying is what we have also spoken to the department about in our meetings. For instance, your certification backlog. That issue, it was this committee that has made them sit up to commit to finishing the backlog, although it has not done so successfully. So it is some of the things that we are saying. Indeed, we have been able to identify as this committee, and the none. It surprises though. I was not. I'm a bit down because I was not thinking that we are doing that bad in terms of achieving the targets of the NDP. I was thinking that we are, you know, getting there, but it looks like we are too slow. Yes, you have reported today, and it is very discouraging. Little things like, but which are very important, your NCV, reviewing of the curricular policy. It's a major thing. If we're saying that institutions are not recognizing the qualification, and that means that our students, the output, they will not be employed in the system. So we are just, they just qualify but cannot be absorbed. They remain there, they are unemployed. So I'm happy that you are bringing these things to us so that we begin to think about how we engage with the department so that we strengthen our oversight. Yeah, I'm very happy with that, the way that you have put to us. But I was also of the idea that, Chair, it means that we need also to meet with them so that they can also share light with us on other programs as well in the department, your university sector, your sectors. As they are speaking, we're able to think about what is happening and then moving. It's not about fault finding, but it's about saying that if we're not doing well, what is it that we can do? Because it's not that we are saying that we want fault within the department. We know where we are coming from as a country. Such challenges will be there, but how do we then move forward in ensuring that we are still with our bit of an
Mr.
Bapta will interpret for me.
You are protected under the rule.
Thank you so much.
In the absence of any other hands, thank you, honourable members, and we'll ask you to respond. But I think the initial point that you made today was we're coming here on the invitation. We have not done a detailed analysis. We are
giving a preliminary response. These are some of our things that we are saying, and that we suggest we should do a far detailed engagement and look at a range of things. And you have said that that should include the department also. So I think that we probably should not base our decision firmly on the preliminary things that you have given, that we should agree maybe as a committee that you should go ahead, and we should work on how it is and how we can engage with the budget committee in pursuit of obviously strengthening our oversight, but also to look at the concerns that we are raising. Because we're not saying we're screaming for more money and not look at oversight. I don't think we are saying that, but I think we are brutally honest and frank also to say to you, you can't, there are some things that you just can't ignore. We accept there are fiscal challenges, but we are saying there are realities also, and there are commitments, and there are decisions that have been taken. And how do we find a path back to all of that? I want to say also, whatever we do, we must take into consideration the ability of portfolio committees in. I mean, we will meet on a Wednesday. Do you really think we're going to do all the stuff that you are asking? It's just impossible. But that does not mean our oversight should not occur. And so I think that challenge must be factored into whatever we are doing to say what then are the possibilities for the portfolio committee, taking that also into consideration. Because oversight is not just getting briefings. Oversight is a range of different things. And how do we use many other mechanisms to achieve that which we are supposed to as members of Parliament. So I think that must also come into the equation. I think the entirety of, you know, how Parliament itself is set up in its functioning, you can't ignore the fact that it either contributes to proper oversight or it inhibits. I don't want to go on that long part of the inhibiting part of Parliament. So I'm saying whatever we do, we take everything into that equation so that the committee, it can't be that the committee has not taken care of a range of different things. I can hear in some of the issues that you have raised, you probably haven't looked at the committee's quarterly engagements with the department also. And hence some of the questions that you are raising, in fact many of the things that you are raising are things that the committee has engaged with the department on the quarterly basis, when we have the report on the finances, on all the programs that you have raised. The member is right, we've had them on several occasions on the certificate issue, from a very bad situation to where it is now, not satisfactory, but to where it is now. So I think that helps. Also, you've got to look at what are the quarterly oversights that the committee has done. You've got to look at what the committee has done in its annual report. You've got to look at the committee's engagement with the Auditor General and all of that. So I'm saying that we should accept this is not comprehensive. So it's not the either or, take this only and ignore that. I think we should give your office also the opportunity to see if you can do a more detailed work. And then I think that will help us to take an informed decision on the way forward. We take the point that we should not neglect our oversight responsibility. We take the point on the fiscal issues that you have raised. to take the point on will there be more money or not, and I don't think that's our argument. I think our premise that we move from is the premise to say that there are glaring things that are there. We don't think we can ignore them. One solution is a proper funding model, but other solutions are 10, 20, 15 other things. And what would say then be, what is the part that the committee will map up for itself for the remainder of the year on these issues and so on. So I think that maybe we should, the mechanism, if the members agree, this is useful. So I think it's good that we have asked you to come, because that's exactly why we have established the budget committee, to help along for your committee and have a continuous engagement with each other. But let me hand over to yourself to respond.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I think the questions are very good. They're excellent questions. Let me start by saying, Chair, the parliamentary budget, we economists, we finance people, we're not educational specialists. So that's the first thing. The other thing is we look at this from a macro picture. I mean, in a very hard-hearted manner, my interest is not in higher education. My interest is in water, higher education, sports, etc. All of them. So we don't have a very specific warm place for you. In a very diplomatic sense, the point I want to make is that the point I want to make here is that we hear exactly the same issues in energy, in the energy committee. We hear exactly the same issues in the water committee. We hear exactly the same issues in social development, and they're all important. Okay. And I mean, we get the same kind of arguments, etc., etc., every day. And that is why we focus on the finance and appropriations committee. So we give a macro picture in that sense. So that's the first point I want to say to you. And in that sense, you know, we look at this from a macro perspective. I think, Honourable Gideon, you're totally right. I mean, there are political issues that are facing the country. And the issue of youth development, the fees issues, etc., is a highly political issue. Also, that's why you have the Fees Commission chair, you know, that are looking at this specifically in this regard, and also looking at funding models. One of the issues we were told at the Fees Commission was the TVET sector is totally naked. And that seemed to be a focus that they had as well, if you remember. In this regard. So clearly the focus is on that sector. There's also another issue in that the next sector that we're going to face the issue with that we see coming is the water sector. Infrastructure, etc., you know, is going to be another problem, so you're going to have an additional competing need for that in this regard. It also will be politically driven in our country. So again, you're going to have a demand, and every time something happens, Chair, you're going to have to find 23 billion there for this. So, you know, the political issue, you're going to have to find 23 billion. I'm happy I don't have to do that job, but that's how we kind of think about it. So I think let's look at this within that broader context, you know, of the whole political issue. There's, of course, going to be a trade-off, Honourable Gideon, in terms of what sectors are important, what are not. If we had enough finances and resources, we can fund everything. And that would solve the problem, I guess. But it wouldn't solve the problem of efficiency issues, of addressing specifically the micro issues in your budget. Because if you don't hold them accountable for that, even if you throw as much money as you want at them, resources, systems, etc., are still going to go for a way in this regard. And you have to hold institutions and people accountable for this intention. So, of course, it links to the funding model. You know, how do you fund institutions? And there's different ways of funding. Either government will fund, or the private sector will fund, or you'll have a combination of government and private sector, or you'll have a combination of government, private sector, and SOEs. For example, youth funding, etc. Or you'll borrow to fund it. So those are the options they have available in terms of funding. What you also do in this regard is, if you fund, do you increase taxation? Do you increase borrowing? And how does that impact on the broader debt of the country, etc.? So while I agree with you, Honourable Bazoli, you know, looking at micro issues might not seem to be important, and looking at the broader structural issues, I fully agree. Unfortunately, you have to hold department. You're dealing with the department.
Mm.
You need to deal with the department at the micro level. And that is where the issues are, I think, that you're going to have to focus. While you're trying to address the broader structural constraints that we face in the country. We haven't sorted out universities yet. We haven't sorted out primary education yet, or TVET, that kind of. So it's an old system that we... The Fees Commission work, again, also has raised these issues, Chair, as a member. You know. So what is the outcome of their work? And, you know, what we think this will happen is another issue. So it's an additional report, which you're going to have to consider going forward in this regard. Chair, I didn't mean to imply that oversight was not conducted. again, you know, as I said, we are not education specialists. But from an outsider's perspective, this is what we see from a quick cursory glance of what's going on in this regard. Now, there might be very nice quarterly reports and reporting systems, etc., etc., but they're not achieving the targets. That's the fact of the matter. You know, so, I mean, no matter how we code it, things are not being achieved. And resources are being used, but targets are not being met. The NDP targets are the resources, but they're supposed to drive what we do. So I think this is outside of perspective coming into a sector which we agree we know very little about, because we operate at a macro level. But from an outsider looking in and doing a quick cursory glance, you know, of the budget, this is the perspective that we get to share as a professor in this regard. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity.
Just in terms of the inefficient businesses, you don't just have to look at on the item level, but also between programs and between sub-programs, so you can find inefficiencies and whether you as the committee can make recommendations in terms of take from universities, give to teachers. Is that what you think it needs to happen as also not? And in terms of, I just want to in terms of the money was at the appropriations committee, if they recommend the amendment, they must be able to demonstrate that the amendment or the shift of money must make a bigger impact. So you must prove that you are going to make a bigger impact, taking from the one, giving to the other. And they must also stay, if they recommend the amendment, it must stay within the fiscal framework. That's why we're saying it's not new money. You will have to take from the one to give to the other. But you must really demonstrate inefficiency when you take, and that you're going to make a bigger impact in terms of another sector or program or department or whatever the case may be.
Okay, I want us to conclude on the Vivian, do you want to talk again?
No, I just want to, if you will allow me. If we want to sharpen our pencils as a committee, it's the right point to start not to look at the strategic plan. And to then say there's a lot of fuzziness. It's a beautiful brochure. It's probably quite expensive. But is it going to achieve the NDP target? Yes or no? Because otherwise what they typically do, departments, all of them do it. They write so many targets. But it's not focused. Not measurable, and it is not going to drive performance. So it's just a question about that. And is that not where we should actually get assistance? Thank you.
Honourable,
and
that the next step in our analysis on the NDP work is we really looking at APP and see whether the indicators of the medium strategic framework are taken up in ADP. Because we believe that if we don't integrate the NDCs into its income indicators and targets into current plans and processes, then we won't be able to implement. And in terms of credit education and health, and Mapula starting with higher education, but just as an example, in education, only 25% of the indicators of the NDCs has been taken up in the APP.
Sure.
So we're going to try and do all 40, but it's taking time. It's only the two of us that's working on the NDP. And our whole PBO, we only 6 or 7 people, kind of. So it's not that we've got all the capacity to do all this work. And I can also just indicate to you that I just checked communications, the Department of Communication, just to check the alignment with budgets and outputs. Communication in the budget, they align themselves to outcome 40. But in terms of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, they actually put them in economic development. They should be in economic development because of the broadband infrastructure.
Yeah.
But they convinced that they contribute to outcome 14 and the output are linked to outcome 14. So somewhere there's a big communication gap.
Confusion
in terms of who does what, and that's how the reporting on the NDP is not what it's supposed to be.
Sure.
If I may, Honourable Julian, I mean, a strategic plan is what they produce, not only to guide the institution, but also to come to Parliament and say, we've done our work, and this is effect. So basically, the oversight function is to say, look, we look at the strategic plan and we're happy with it. So that's what you say. You know, we're happy with the strategic plan, please go ahead, and you know, and the next year we'll come back and do another one. So, without looking, you know, have we achieved, where's the progress, what have we done with it, et cetera, et cetera, you know. So the mere fact that you approve a strategic plan is a concern in the system.
Again, Mr. Thank you very much. Okay, did you remind me of the issue that you're talking about, the next plan? Remind me of the person where you and I come from. Where you said you don't want any assistance, you don't want any glossy stuff, you just bring up a plain annual report stuff and so on, and cut out all of these other pictures. And then they started to put pictures of myself into the. they invite me and then they Yeah. No, thank you very much again. We will remain in contact with each other to take the process further. And thank you for your morning to us.
Thank you.
Honourable members, the next point on the next point on the agenda is the consideration of the budget for 15 report for your consideration. May I hear the response from the member?
Do we have some copies available here?
It's supposed to be on there.
This report that you... The draft joint report, is that
then, it? That's wrong.
But that's the one you're referring to.
No, it's fine. This is the
Emailed it because I didn't receive it, but I thought it was just maybe because I was looking under Vanera's name.
Yeah, I didn't receive it.
Mom Parker?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's why I didn't receive it. I didn't check it. You know, because I was looking under Anele. Last time I checked, he was committed. It was sent at 20:45 last night under your name.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Members of it done. We need more time. Thank you.
this, are we done? Okay. I get responses on the report.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether these issues should be in the report or not, but they are issues that, to my mind, should be concerning the department as something that is happening this year. And there is no evidence in the strategic plan that they are concerning the department. The one is the fee increase of students this year in universities. It's going to come in July. Students are going to ask for a no fee increase. That is going to have budgetary implications as it has for the last 3 years. And there's no indication in the strategic plan that the department has any backup plan or thoughts about how to deal with this. The second thing that's going to happen to the department this year is the findings of the Commission of Inquiry. And again, there's no sense that that Commission of Inquiry will, its findings will have an effect on budget. And also will have an effect on student approaches and politicization. And there's again no sense of any preparation for that. I think that the real increase in subsidies, if you take off NISFA, seems to be below higher education inflation. The higher education inflation rate that we were that was explained to us last year, and I think we need to comment on that. The huge problem in the HR division, lack of endorsement of the department organogram by, I don't know who's supposed to endorse it, but presumably the Department of Public Service and Administration or somebody. Is meant to endorse your organogram so that you can then get your staff in place. Now, if the new organogram designed to manage the TVET colleges is not endorsed, they cannot get the staff in place to manage the TVET colleges. So, to me, that seems a major omission in the problems that we've identified in this report. There's no sense in this report that report we received on universities in financial distress. If you remember, we received a report which identified certain universities that were in serious financial distress.
From who?
From the department.
Okay.
Remember, they came and presented it.
No, you're not talking about last week.
No, it was about...
Oh, okay.
Anyway... the fact of the matter is no evidence that is in any way planned to be dealt with. There's no sense that the budget will have loans within it or bailout money for these universities. Does that mean that the department just wants them to sink? So I think that this strategic plan gets written based on the previous strategic plan. But there isn't much thought given to the bigger strategic issues facing the department. And the kinds of things I've mentioned are mainly strategic issues. And the planning does not fully engage with those strategic issues. Thanks. If we can put some of those points in, I'd be grateful.
Chairperson, I'm a little bit at a disadvantage because I was not present in the last meeting. I don't know if these matters were in fact highlighted to the department for a response, because I think these are clearly strategic issues which would have budgetary implications, but the way that I understand it is that your strategic plan is focusing on your strategic objectives, and obviously on the during the process you may have unanticipated sort of events that occur, in which case there must be additional intervention. But my question is, were these raised as during the meeting as shortcomings? Because if not, we can still say during the debate we have concerns about this and this and this. But I don't know if we should in fact include it if it was not addressed during the meetings and engagement last week during the meeting. So, because clearly we are doing the review report on based on our engagement with the different plans and with the budget that was presented to the committee. So that's just my provisional thinking about it.
Could you make a suggestion?
As I indicated, Chairperson, it depends. If the committee raised it, if it was raised in the committee, then I think it should be included. If it was not discussed during the deliberations, and we focused more on the further... It was the no-fee increase, that Honourable Bazzoli is saying that the department's strategic plan does not anticipate that there will be a demand for an additional no-fee increase. Secondly, there is no reference to the fees commission and possible, and then she made the good point about the organogram and which institution is supposed to, it's one of those matters that I think it is a very important matter, but I don't know if it was in fact discussed. So please let us just engage on how we include it if we do. And then the last one is reference to universities in financial distress. Now, I don't know, but when you had your workshop regarding those reports, you had the benefit of deliberating further on that, but Honourable Suella and myself, we were in telecommunications oversight, as you will recall. So please just, again, was this mentioned during the deliberations? Is there a contingency fund or whatever that could make provision for any such matters, such as the no-fee demands or whatever? Was it discussed with the department?
In answering Honourable Vivian, there was no reference to the issue. Although I think we can all agree that they are important issues, but they were not asked. Last week when we engaged, there was no mention, say, of the Field Commission, no fees increase in July, but it is indeed a real issue. For me, I would maybe think that it is something that she can raise, you know, because there is also a debate, but I don't know. I feel that it will be difficult for us to put something that we have not deliberated on with the department. It's like an ambush, I don't know. But if we just focus on issues that we have not really spoken on them and then include that in the report, I don't think that is a good idea. But I agree that those are valid points that she's making.
I wouldn't comment much on this.
Sorry,
can't
hear?
I have different issues from those that they have raised, which are, I think that the first I would probably, if I'm given an opportunity, when we go page by page, I will raise them at that point. But I think it's a good report in the land. But also to indicate the Field Commission, instituted by the president. And I think that the coup will go through the president. And I don't think how the department could have anticipated and put the back in their strategic plan. So I thought that the report would go first to the president before that it would become part of the department. I don't know. But I don't see how we should check that up into this report.
Thank you, Chair. I'm under the impression that we can raise issues in this report that were not raised in last week's meeting. Last week's meeting was when the department came and they reported to the portfolio committee. But if we are of the opinion that there are glaring gaps in what they have reported to us, and if we believe that the solution to some of the challenges are, you know, outside of what the department has identified, I think this is our task to include it in our report. So I wouldn't be so restricted to say, but unless we've raised it last week, it cannot be entered into the report as a comment from this department. So I would like to encourage colleague Kilian, Honourable Kilian, to raise and make proposals to include some of that stuff, some of those items in this report. May I just, Chair, just on the firstly say thank you very much to the staff who compiled this report, and referring to my experience in other committees, I must really commend the staff for the language, spelling, etc. There was just one issue where I thought there was from a editorial kind of view, of editing kind of view, a proposal which I've marked. But can I just say, Chair, perhaps we must first look at the high-level issues, include that in our report, and then perhaps I can go to, let's call it, editing proposals. And in terms of the high-level report, Chair, I think what we are missing in this report, what I'm missing in this report, the fact that the colleges are not reaching their targets is not only due to monetary constraints. The feedback that I'm getting is that the National Certificate Vocational is a flop, that because of the low throughput rates, you know, learners are not stupid, word spreads, and they no longer enroll for that. You rather stay in school with a better chance of achieving a senior certificate than going to a college where your chances of dropping out is so much bigger. And secondly, then also that, you know, some of the curricula for the NATET 191 and 190 programs are so outdated that people are no longer, you know, encouraging young people to go and enroll for those programs. Because in the meantime, private colleges are flourishing. Now, why is it that, you know, people are voting with their feet and leaving our public institutions and rather go to private colleges? Then there must be a serious problem with what we're offering and what we're funding. And I think that is something which we must include in this report, that we are concerned about the future of our private colleges and the fact that they are no longer the first choice for young people. The second aspect that I believe this report is too quiet on is the whole aspect of the problems experienced with NSFAS. We are throwing huge amounts of money into the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and we need to, as a committee, somewhere in our report, highlight the fact that administratively NSFAS is not running smoothly. I've just had feedback on Monday night that the second trimester for engineering students has just started, and administrative problems have still not been resolved, and we are looking at a very small number of students that are looking out for feedback from this class, but they are not getting that type of feedback. So same with those remarks, I think there are some issues which the department has not raised, because they will not raise, you know, where they really fell badly, and we should be raising that as an observation from this committee. Thank you.
I'll pass to you again.
Oh, thanks, Chair. I'm reminded that the issue of free increase in July could be treated in the same manner like what we did when we requested the department to come and present on the plan on how they're planning to fund the 0%, you remember, when we called them. So also, this one for the July, we might as well schedule a meeting for them to be able to share with us on those lines as to what they are going to do. But really, for me, including something that we have never on this one, no, it's a no-no. But coming to NSFAS, yes, we have made those observations, and we spoke to NSFAS regarding those issues. That we can see how we then bring so that it becomes part of the report. But what we have not deliberated on, it cannot be that we include in the report.
I hear what Uncle Fonavis is saying. You see, I also very often feel that as a committee, we don't address the real core issue facing the sector. My only concern is that's just why I was posing the question. My concern is that we are in a formal process, you know, the budget and the budget process, etc. And then we should formally report on that basis. I do believe that we must raise these issues, but there are others as well. My concern is, if we raise some, but not raise the others, you know, efficiency in the system. They can say whatever they like. The system is not efficient. The performance targets. Now, it's so difficult. The department must hold other institutions accountable, but they're not fully controlling them. You know, this whole matter. But it matters that we as a committee should engage, because, you know, the fact of the matter is we can't just throw money at the problem. You must improve the efficiency level. The curriculum. CVET curriculum. Honestly, you know, the one institution hands over the responsibility to the other, and they don't seem to make progress. And you know, so now the only reason why I raised this is I was not part of the discussion, and I didn't know if the committee perhaps raised additional matters, the broader issue, and got the response. My concern is that we include something in the report and the department comes back and says, you didn't study the detail of budget work 15 adequately. We actually have a bit of flesh that we've built into program 2, which is policy and strategic planning. So yes, we have a little bit of a contingency fund there, but we didn't engage them. If we have asked them, CFO, Chief Financial Officer, we anticipate that this is going to become a problem. Does the department have any contingency fund for events like that? And if he says no, then we say in the committee report, the department does not have any contingency fund and we have a concern about that. Because, you know, X, Y, Z. That's the only reason why I thought, if we start that, where do we start? Because there are so many other issues. You know, this whole thing that the budget office this morning raised again, you know, the poor progress on the building of the technical college, it's a serious problem. We've had service providers building and delaying building processes. What is the reason for it? we will have to call in the department just on that issue to say, give us a progress report. But unless we engage them, I don't know how many additional things we should throw into our report. That was the only reason. I don't have a political concern of any nature. It's just, we're busy with a specific process. Do we not conclude this? As far as the report is concerned, as I indicated, I have a few here and there also editorial comments, because I can't comment on the detail of it. I just have some comments, editorially. If it's, some of the sentences are very long, etc. So, if I don't know if you're going to run through it on a page by page basis or what, but just those are just my comments, just to help get a good report. Thank you, Chair. And thanks for the report, for the job.
Chair, I take the point. There might be a secret fund somewhere that we can ask them about. But everything should be made clear to us. If there's a fund as a contingency, it should be there, and there isn't anything there. So, I cannot see why we can't look. And we are the committee that has oversight over them. They don't have oversight over us. We have oversight over them, and we are therefore entitled to say these are the things that are worrying us about this department. Some of them are things that they themselves have mentioned, by the way. The lack of endorsement of the organogram is something they've said is a problem.
Mm.
Now, why? What's wrong with us saying we agree that that's a problem? The universities in financial distress, they have said it's a problem. Again, we can therefore endorse, plans, budgetary resources need to be found for solving that problem. The increase in subsidy, I don't see why we can't raise that. The low increase in university subsidy, that's an obvious point. There's very little they can say. It either is or it isn't, and that's on the paper. And preparation for the possible findings of the Commission of Inquiry, I do take the point that this is a presidential commission. Nevertheless, it's about university and TVET education. That's what it's on. So we have to adopt a certain level of common sense here and not be too enthralled by the technicalities of who said what when. The common sense is we're here to perform oversight over this department. Let's do it about the things that really worry us. Otherwise, we're just playing a game of, following them and their lead. We're in charge here. I mean, the way the minister said to us, I was very disturbed last time. I know it was just a joke. And he said, I would like to ask this committee to come and toy with me for more money. Now, very funny, but the fact of the matter is, he can't tell us what to do. We're there to tell him what to do. And the way he approached this committee was as though he was giving us advice. No, we give him advice. And I do think the relationship between us and the department needs to be firmly put in place, because we are in charge, not the committee. Thank you.
Honourable Kunu, I think Honourable Member wanted to just let's see how we, yeah, how we can vote. Honourable Kunu and Honourable Sorella is the last on the floor. Thank you, Chair. Now, Chair, I wanted to draw the attention of the committee to point 7.1.14. That is a reference to TVET curriculum. It was made, indeed, one of the observations that the committee has made in the engagement with the department. So I think it is well covered in the particular page. I would then propose that we, as we have read, I think for me, my focus was mostly on the recommendations, and I think we all agree that indeed they are good and a representation of what we have observed as this committee, and then we therefore propose that we adopt those that have been made. And sorry, last question, and that because I know that there are members who are so good with editorial stuff, they are so good with reading and making those grammatical, you know, changes and what they can then forward those to their staff. That's my proposal, Chair. I know Honorable Bata cannot do that one.
The point made by Honorable Bosworth is that of the investigative institution. According to the report, there is talk of the pieces that is underfunded. And obviously, the underfunding covers all institutions of higher education, including those universities. I hope it's covered there. But again, I would like to second Honorable School. Of course, with those ones that are good at editing. So they do a bit of editing, and we adopt the report because the recommendations are very good, and they capture almost everything that we want to see happening in the past.
Thanks, Chair. I wasn't part of the proceeding, but I just want to alert the committee. If there was anything on universities and districts, I think you must consider it, because one of the oversight roles of the committee is actually to prevent and detect districts and to assist the department to act sharply and to be always proactive with those universities. Universities are public entities. For them to go on administration now and again, it's a public dissatisfaction, because it's a cause for concern generally in the state of provision, but also management and general inefficiencies in the system. And maybe it will answer some of the things that say there is a growing level of basically all privately provided higher education institutions at the expense of public. Those are the questions that you must always worry about.
Honourable members, you know, not that you are in disagreement with each other about the issue. It's about the methodology of how best can we make sure that we are seen with the important issues that are being raised. And then secondly, I mean, the procedural thing of the mover and the seconder. I want to persuade Honorable Bosworth, the point that you are raising in state, there is no disagreement about your point of view. None of the members disagree with that. But you know, your point of debt, we ask the department to come and appear before us as a committee on a separate invitation as attached to mixing it with the fact that we're busy with a threat plan and a budget. It is far more powerful than squeezing it in here as opposed to asking them to actually come. I think the members have spoken on the list of things that we need to work, because I think that even on the university in the stress issue, we had the workshop, we discussed issues, we are in absolute powerful position on the basis of our discussion on PTEC to get them returned again. We hear what you say, where you move from when you say that, you know, this is why it is important. I want to protect the fact that it's far more powerful to invite him to come here, other than you know, making a add-on into a threat plan and budget, and the committee will have far better oversight in that manner, as opposed to you know putting it in here for the sake of the issues that you have motivated. So I want to say that you have consensus amongst yourself. It's the strategy that you are disagreeing that you are disagreeing with, and I think it's best to hold on what bigger benefit the committee can get out of deploying the best strategies and how to address the matters that are similar. I want to ask that we don't throw everything out, but still make sure that we can capture somewhere else, I'm not talking about the report, somewhere else that is part of our overall preparation for our own program, that it must be not there as opposed to just putting it in
the last. I was wondering, you know, perhaps if we could, if we look at the recommendations, I think they're quite good, but what some of the members have requested was that we should, in fact, raise a concern with regard to organogram or whatever. Should we then not perhaps just say the department should take appropriate steps to ensure that the departmental organogram is approved? So what if, you know, just a request, would that cover that concern? And then something like the department should improve its oversight function over entities such as NSFA to ensure, because there is really sometimes a perception, and maybe it's only me having it, that the department says NSFA is an agency. Then the other matter is just perhaps a sentence that says the department should ensure that its strategic planning includes proactive steps to monitor the financial sustainability of universities and other, colleges. If we say that, we're putting it on the radar, but we know that we have not really engaged the matter during this process, but then we anchor it in the strategic plan of the department going forward. So it's just to say, strategic planning includes proactive steps to monitor the financial sustainability of universities and colleges, and then we could include reference to and possible future pressures on support for students. Something like that. I just don't think we should go into too much detail on specific issues, but have a broader overview over is the department performing adequately in terms of oversight, and secondly, do we see strategic planning is adequate enough overview of it? So I don't know. But that's just somehow.
And second, respect to you. I think they've agreed on the Nexus issue. We've agreed. I think honourable members on the organogram. I don't think there can be a change on that one. I think it's the last part of the formulation on the board. Comfortable? Secondary, is it comfortable?
No.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, our members find each other and make sure that there are formulations that can carry. Now, then there is movers and seconders, and we are come with this report. Thank each and every one of you.
Oh, okay. No, don't test.
The other point was taken about the cross teeth and dot the eyes.
That was taken about dropping the teeth and dropping the eyes and so on. And the name has been spelled wrong and so on. All of that has been taken into consideration. Am I moving on the golden room?
Not here. I wanted you to click on that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm so sorry. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Now that I have done that,
I'm with.
somebody left this on the
I'm thanking you, honourable members, and I'm saying that we're moving to the minutes now, and where we are.
Okay. Sorry, Chief. I would appreciate if the minutes could just reflect that the members of the DA have not reserved or abstained during the vote. Thank you.
Which vote are you abstaining
to? But you said this was adopted, Chair. So when you adopted it, we didn't vote.
No. You've got to be very clear on how you formulate what you're on the day statement. You are confusing the House now.
We reserve our rights.
There's no legislation that will send you to the country that you're right on anything. Now, honourable members, I think we understand what you're saying, that the Democratic Alliance is the
reserved its position.
They reserved its position with regard to the adoption of this report. Thank you very much.
We will reject it.
March 3rd, then May. The 15th of March was the one where we dealt with the Auditor General on the story.
March 15th.
I have the members on the 3rd or 15th of March. Don't see any objection. Moved by Honourable Mkadele, seconded by Honourable Mkuna. The DA doesn't reserve their rights. The 3rd of May, 9 o'clock. Why do I have too many minutes of the third of May? There's a 9 o'clock one and then there's a 2 o'clock one. Should have been this one.
Why is it in two bodies?
It's separated also because we remember we dealt with, we just want to remind you that's how precise we are in this committee. Same to you that 9 o'clock we discuss the following thing. And then in 2 o'clock we discuss these other things.
I hope you have a double pay for those questions.
Yes, so we discussed efficiency quite extensively this morning, and we start in this committee with efficiency. You can't tell other people to be efficient if you're not efficient on your own part. You're not protected now, unfortunately.
Quite cool, Jay. Quite cool.
Honourable members, back to the minutes of the 3rd of May and both sets of them.
No.
don't see any objections to it. Do you have any other reasons to stay in the room, Honourable Member?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking, do you have any other reasons to stay in the room?
No.
I thank all of you for your
There's still some coffee left, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. There's something to enjoy. I declare the meeting closed.
How do you make? What's in the mouth? Which one? Let me help you. I also do not have one.
Open the medicine page.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, open the medicine page.